Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, or with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. So we looked at this this passage this morning, looking at the responsibility that God gives to children. Children, obey your parents. Children, honor your parents. We said there were some, categorically, some big reasons why we ought to pay attention to this. Number one, God thinks it's very important that children learn to obey their parents. And we can see that from the Old Testament all the way up to the New. We said that rebellion against your parents is ultimately rebellion against God. God gave you your parents. He picked them out just for you. And God is holding your parents accountable and responsible for training you to obey. We left off this morning with the reality that you need to learn how to function in a world where you're not in charge. You need to learn how to function in a world where you're not in charge. In God's design, in order for things not to be chaotic, He has set up structure. He has set up authority and authoritative systems in order to avoid confusion. And that's with the family, that's with the workplace, that's with society, and that's within the realm of spiritual reality as well. If we don't know what it means, or if we don't know how to function, when we're not the ones calling all the shots, we will not be able to function in reality, because that's just not the way it works. Last, and what we're going to look at this afternoon, and we could give more reasons than this, but lastly, thinking about big thematic reasons as to why it is important that we not just think about or preach about, but why we obey this command, particularly children, why you are given this command is because you don't know as much as you think you do. Okay? You don't know as much as you think you do. And I know that sounds like a harsh statement or an angry parent maybe, or maybe you've been scolded that way before, but that statement is repeated numerous times in Scripture to just people in general. We don't know as much as we think we do. The estimation level we have of our wisdom almost always fails because we overshoot, right? We think we have a lot more than what we actually have. And then again, that is tested with reality and comes to light, and it's a whole lot more painful to figure out that you're foolish through experience than it is by just taking a word from God, receiving it, believing it, and acting upon it. So let's go to a couple of passages here on this. Look in Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. We're just really concerned about the first part of this verse for where we're going with this section of the message. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Again, just restating what we said earlier. By default, we're all fools. Okay? When you start out as a fool. Now, I don't know if you guys have ever had instructors that start the beginning of the semester out by letting you know that everybody's starting out with 100. And then as you fail to turn in assignments, then you go from that 100 down to whatever. And then your test score, you have an opportunity to receive 100 points to maintain your 100 that you started out with. But if you just get 60 of those 100, then it'll go down. But everybody's starting out with 100, and then you get to decide whether or not you keep it. And then there are those who are truthful and say, you're starting out with a zero. and you can turn in your assignments, and you can gain some points there, and you can take some tests, and you can gain some points there. But everybody's starting out with a zero, and what you end up with at the end of the course is going to be determined by the effort that you put into the work. But the point is, you're not starting out with 100, you're starting out with a zero. Well, when it comes to the wisdom scale, you start on a zero. Okay? You're not starting out on 100. It's not that you're going to somehow diminish the wisdom that you've been given. It's that you don't have any to start with. And the effort that you put into getting wisdom will determine how wise you end up being. Okay? Now, that's a principle that you should know. Because we could get into the worldly concept of this, but you understand that whenever we're talking about trying to understand people from a biblical perspective, really we're getting into what the Bible has to say about anthropology and how we understand humanity at a core level. You realize that's completely opposed to what the world says. You ever heard the phrase, there's no such thing as a bad child, just bad parents? Well, that's not true, right? It may be halfway true, but it's not all the way true. There's a such thing as a bad child, and you were one of them. So was I. We do not start out in this perfect record. Now, we could talk about innocence and those kinds of things, and there's an obvious truth to that. But one of the reasons why the world has this whole thing just completely upside down, and chaos proceeds from that, is this thought. It's really a philosophical underpinning where they start and try to build from there, that if we could just get back to the pure wisdom of an innocent child, right? I mean, you go into the school systems now, and who has the authority? Kid, ultimately. The kid. You look and see how the world tries to structure. We said this a while back, but the message that the world has for parents is not parents teach your children, right? It's parents listen to your children. Listen to them. Let them teach you. Your child has something that you need to know, and if you would just step back, open your mind, and embrace the goodness that's flowing from your child, the wisdom that's flowing from your child, you might just learn a thing or two. Right? Completely opposed to Scripture. And by the way, I'm not overstating that. You look at any of the so-called experts on this, and whether or not they'll come right out and say that, that's the understanding. That's the understanding. If you want to get in step with the culture and with reality, let your kid help you do that. Don't mess them up with what you've learned, with what you've experienced, and what you believe, and what you embrace. Well, there's no wonder that long ago this whole idea of corporal punishment went out the window. There were obviously some abuses of that, and we'll talk about that in another message. But when we come at our children from a biblical perspective, one of the core things we need to realize is that even though God has given us a gift, right? Children are a gift. That's a true reality. Children are a blessing. That's a true reality. But children are fools that need to become wise, and you've been entrusted with them to bless them to know how to do that. So, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. That's why Proverbs chapter 4. In Proverbs chapter 4, again, we find this language of a father and a son. Another thing that's helpful about the Proverbs is, have you ever noticed that many times in Proverbs, there's a lot of repetition? I mean, there's some of these Proverbs that are, it's a different chapter, it's a different verse, but it's an exact replica of what was said just a few chapters before. One of the encouragements we ought to get from that is when we go to instruct our children for wisdom, there's going to be a lot of repetition that occurs with that, right? If the Holy Spirit thought he needed to give you the exact same words more than once, right, there's a little model of wisdom there. We shouldn't be surprised when we have to repeat. Anyway, chapter 4, verse 1. Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake you not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. And he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. And then here he gets to this the section that I'm after. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. And then he continues to go on. There's an urgency that you see here as Solomon writes. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing. You see, there's this really high price tag that's attached to wisdom in the book of Proverbs. It's something that's very highly esteemed because the writer of the Proverbs realizes two things. Number one, wisdom is one of the most valuable things a person can have. Number two, you only get it through hard work. Wisdom is one of the most valuable things a person can have. Number two, you only get it through hard work, or maybe I should say, you only get it through a diligent pursuit. Wisdom does not come while you're on autopilot. Wisdom is not something that you just accidentally become one day. Wisdom is what happens as you begin to see the world as God sees it and then respond to the world as God has set it up to be responded to. So that you learn whenever you're involved in conflict, a soft answer turns away wrath, right? That's wisdom. Why does it work that way? I don't know, but it usually does. That's the way God set it up to work. Why is it that the slothful man who won't do anything comes to nothing? Because, well, there's a little more common sense as to how that happens, but that's the way God set it up. That's the way God set it up, and so forth and so on. So what I want to do this afternoon is look at some characteristics in Proverbs. Characteristics of a fool. Characteristics of a fool. We've said before, when you look at the book of Proverbs, there's this constant comparison contrast between the wise and the foolish, between wisdom and foolishness, folly and wisdom, and those sorts of things. So, 25 characteristics of a fool. Now, these are all coming straight from the book of Proverbs, but I'll tell you where I found this. One of my supervisors used to use this, and he would call it the fool test. He would say as he would counsel with people, he would say, I'm going to get you to take the fool test. And here's the fool test. As we go down through this, this will help you as you listen. As we go down through this, every time you hear a proverb or you hear something that describes a fool that sounds a lot like you, put down a little mark on a piece of paper or use your fingers. You may run out of fingers because there's 25 of these, but keep up with it. Keep up with it. It's one thing to know that a fool exists. It's another thing to know that I can be a fool in general, and it's a whole other thing to know I'm foolish in this area, and I got to grow here. This is what God has to say about this. So some of these things may surprise you. Some of them may not. All right, let's go to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. In Proverbs 1, verse 7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The first characteristic we receive about a fool in Proverbs is that a fool despises wisdom and instruction. In other words, a fool does not have time to hear what other people have to say. A fool does not need to be taught. A fool already knows it all. And so it's not just that a fool simply turns a deaf ear, although that's true, but it's that a fool despises it. Why would you even think I would need you to tell me how to do something? I already know how to do it. You know, one of the observations I made early on in teaching was, and I don't fall outside of this category, was that one of the big challenges in education, whether you're teaching, and obviously this would be parenting as well, but I saw it in teaching, was, you know, people don't want to be taught anything. They just want to be reminded of something they already know. They don't want to be taught anything. They just want you to kind of jog their memory where they can half-heartedly put forth an effort and say, oh yeah, I remember that. That's why so often when you tell kids something, they'll say, oh yeah, I know, even though you realize they had zero clue. Probably the first time they've ever heard that information. Now, this is off my observation. You mean there's nothing inspired about that. But there's an observation I've had. People are fine if you remind them of what they already know. You try to talk to them as if they're starting on an empty slate, they don't have time for it. They don't have time for it. I know. Well, Proverbs 1:7 says, it is a fool that meets instruction with the response, oh, I know, I knew that. Look in verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Again, second characteristic we learn about a fool in Proverbs is that a fool hates knowledge, and that's pretty close to despising wisdom and instruction. A fool hates knowledge. You know, it's sometimes hard to detect how this might apply or what this looks like, but you know, the opposite of attaining knowledge, right? If you're gonna attain knowledge, that means you have to be thinking, right? The opposite of that is being amused. Right, being amused, which just means to be in a state of thoughtlessness. Well, we live in the amusement age, don't we? I mean, there's not a time in your life that you can not be amused if you want to be. A fool hates knowledge. He hates having to sit down and think about and receive new information. In Proverbs chapter 7, verse 25. Well, my reference is wrong here. Let's just move on down. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1. It says, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. A foolish son grieves his mother. Foolish son grieves his mother. Well, you think about the decisions you make. You think about the words that come out of your mouth. You think about the interaction that you have with your mother. And while you may chalk it up to, she's too emotional, you may chalk it up to, she's overreacting. You may chalk it up to, she's exaggerating. If there's this habitual thing that comes up again and again and again, then the Bible says, if it walks like a duck, and quacks like a duck, and smells like a duck, and looks like a duck, what do you think it is? It's not a cat. It's a duck. And a fool is someone who is continually grieving their mother based on their foolish actions. Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. Verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Now, in a way, this is just restating the first thing that we said. He despises wisdom and instruction, but it's on the positive side. It's that in the heart and mind of a fool, he's always right. He's always right. You know, there's something incredibly wrong with you if you're always right. Now, that sounds weird, doesn't it? It sounds like if you were always right, there would be something wonderfully right about you. But you know, there's only one person that's always right, and that's God. And it's not you. And the truth about you and I is that we live in a sin-cursed world, and we are influenced, and we interact and respond out of our own sinfulness and flesh and so forth and so on. And we are we're wrong probably more than we're right. Not a fool. A fool is always right in his own eyes. In a fool's mind, it's always got to be you. You're the one who's overreacting, or you're the one who is wrong, or you're the one who doesn't understand. You're the one who's something, but it's not me. I'm right. It makes sense to me. It makes sense to me. I just can't see how what you're saying makes any sense. I can't see how what you're saying even applies to me. I'm not wrong. Well, again, on the fool test of things in Proverbs, if you tend to think you're always right, then Proverbs 12:15 has a word for you. Number 7, look in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 16. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. You see, a fool is quick to anger. Fool is quick to anger. He does not know and is not interested in how to control himself or how to control his anger. Now, whenever we talked about anger earlier in Ephesians chapter 4, we said there is a way to be angry and not to sin. But what he's talking about here in Proverbs is that a fool's anger is quickly known. Everybody knows about it. He's not in control over himself. And to be someone who gives full vent to your anger in public doesn't make you courageous. It doesn't make you bold. It doesn't make you anything except foolish. Proverbs 13:19. Proverbs 13:19. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. Something about a fool is he hates to depart from evil. A fool hates to depart from evil. Now again, this is one of those things where you have to weigh your own heart on this thing. But we all are enticed through the flesh. We all have temptations. We're all drawn in certain ways. But to a fool, the worst thing in the world would be for him to have to walk away from evil. Repentance is what we would call that. Proverbs 14:8. Proverbs 14:8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. The fool is deceitful. And again, as we go through here, we're not just trying to find characteristics that Proverbs points out and then pouncing on that by saying you must be a fool if you do that. We're just explicitly taking what Proverbs says about the fool and attaches to the fool, and we're pointing those out. The fool's folly is his deceitfulness. Now, for every one of these, you know, I mean, it's convenient if you're trying to convince somebody they're a fool by reading down the list of foolishness, but also, parents, what we get in this is a kind of a list of things to be looking for. We get some fodder for areas that where instruction might be needed, where correction is surely going to be needed at some point. I mean, there's a reason why it's a very common thing that that parents toe the line at honesty, right? You're going to be honest, or at least we're going to try to teach you to be honest. We're not going to put up with lying and deceit. Why? Because we know the destruction personally that comes along with that. The destruction that comes to the fool who's given over to deceit. Look in Proverbs 14:16. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. You see, the thing about the fool is that he's arrogant and he's careless. A fool is arrogant and he's careless. And a lot of times it comes out like, you know, I'm not scared. I'll do anything. I'll do anything. I'm not scared. You know, my friends say I'm crazy. You know, we laugh about that. I'm just crazy. And what the Bible really says about that is those people who aren't scared, who will do anything, and who are crazy are fools. Fools. It means I act before I think. I don't consider reality before I do something. Proverbs 17:10. Proverbs 17:10. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. A reproof enters more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. A fool does not respond well to discipline. A fool does not respond well to discipline. And you say, well, what am I supposed to do with that? You know, on the one hand, I think you have an imbalance where while you're administering discipline, you're trying to force something that may not be possible. So I've heard of some families who have taken the tactic that they're going to spank their children and then ask their children to stop crying a couple of seconds after the spanking, and then spank them for rebellion for continuing to cry after they gave them the spanking, and repeating that whole silly cycle. And if you're spanking the way you're supposed to, then they're supposed to be crying. And to ask them to stop crying makes zero sense. Now, maybe you've never heard of that, but I've heard of several cases of that, and it just is silly. So that's not the kind of thing that I'm talking about, or that Proverbs is talking about when Proverbs says responding well to discipline. But being able to, and considering the fact that this discipline occurred because of something I did, and maybe there's something I need to learn that I have not yet learned. Maybe I need to think differently. Maybe God's trying to get my attention, or my parents are trying to get my attention about something legitimate. Maybe it's not silly or off the wall. Proverbs 17:24. A man that has friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And again, I've got the wrong reference here. I'm not sure. It's... Oh, I'm in 18. Yes, sorry. I'm in 18. Wisdom is before him that hath understanding, but the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. The eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. What does that mean? It means a fool is just worldly minded, right? The wisdom is before him that has understanding, but the eyes of a fool are just on the earth. They're not dwelling on anything that has to do really with wisdom. They're not searching for anything that has to do with wisdom. They're in, or they're consumed with, the world. And by that, I don't necessarily mean the world system. I just mean nothing spiritual, nothing of any wisdom or value. What about 17:25? A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bear him. Again, a characteristic of a fool is that he's a grief to his father. He rejects his father's instruction. He brings grief to his father and his mother. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 2, it says, a fool has no delight in understanding, but that its heart may discover itself. A fool has no delight in understanding, but that its heart may discover itself. What does that mean? It just means a fool is not interested in considering or discussing anybody else's viewpoint but his own. You want to know why? Because he already knows it all. He already knows it all. All he's interested in is discovering his own heart. All he's interested in is what he thinks, he feels, what his views are, and he'd love to tell you about them, but he's not interested in a thing you have to say. Now, as we get into these, it becomes real apparent that this is not just for children, is it? Proverbs chapter 18, verse 6. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's lips enter into contention. In other words, he provokes other people to strife and to anger by the words that he says. Again, it's a lack of self-control. It may be one of these things where someone says, well, I can't help it, I'm just honest. I just say what's on my mind. I'm not a hypocrite. I'm authentic. I'm whatever. But the Bible calls authentic and a non-hypocrite and all those kinds of things that is constantly provoking people to anger and strife. The Bible's word for that is a fool. It's a fool who uses his words habitually to provoke others to strife and anger by the things that he says. Just write down one verse from that, not go down one verse. In verse 7, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. What does that mean? Well, you could put it this way. The fool has a smart mouth that usually gets him into trouble. Fool has a smart mouth that usually gets him into trouble. He says things that he shouldn't say or in ways that he shouldn't say, and what he's saying is always getting him into trouble. Now, Proverbs 18:7 was me all over whenever I was little. I'm not that way anymore, hopefully, or at least not as much as I used to be. But that was me all over. I always had something to say. Always had something to say. Proverbs 20, verse 3. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. So again, this idea of someone who is quarrelsome, someone who is contentious, someone who's always meddling in something, someone who's always stirring something up. You know, sometimes people say, I don't find trouble, trouble just finds me. That is not true. If you're always in an argument, if you're always in a fuss, if you're always in a fight, it's not everybody else. Okay? It may be you. More than likely, it is you. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 20. Proverbs 21, verse 20. There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. A fool blows through money. A fool blows through money. They don't know how to manage it. They don't know how to make it. They don't know how to keep it. They just blow through money. In Proverbs 26, Proverbs 26, verse 11, Proverbs 26, verse 11, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Now that's a pretty descriptive little axiom there, isn't it? It's pretty nasty thinking about the first half of it. And he's comparing that to a fool who continually returns to the same old foolishness. They get out of it for a second, and they're right back in. They continue to repeat the same foolish behavior based on the same foolish thoughts again and again and again and again. And Solomon says, it's like a dog that goes back and licks up its own vomit. Another way of putting this is, a fool leaves a pretty clear paper trail. He leaves a pretty clear paper trail. His past, or their, his or her past, can be traced pretty easily. Chapter 28, verse 26. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whosoever walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. So a fool trusts in his own heart. A fool trusts in his own heart. The exhortation to encourage people to follow their hearts is really an exhortation to become a fool, right? A fool trusts in his own heart. He's not open to wisdom. He's not open to counsel. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 9, if a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. If a wise man contends with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. In other words, no matter what he does, it doesn't get resolved. A fool cannot resolve conflict. A fool cannot resolve conflict. It's an ongoing deal. And we've talked about that earlier in some of this other stuff. And then finally, in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in until afterwards. A fool utters all his mind, but a wise man keeps it in until afterwards. And so a fool gives full vent either to his anger or full expression to his thoughts. A fool has no wisdom or self-control over his mouth. And again, many times that's couched as, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'm going to be authentic. I'm going to be this. I'm going to be that. But the proverb says, it is a fool that gives full vent, that says everything that's on his mind when it's on his mind. Now, that's a pretty long list, isn't it, that Proverbs gives us? You may look at that and think, if you've been tracking along, you may think, when I say tracking along, maybe if anybody participated and put a check mark down or a line down for things that tend to fall under your category of habits, you may think, I got a lot of check marks here. Or you may think, a lot of what I've heard here describes me to some extent. And anybody that has any real self-awareness is going to be able to recognize there are traits of a fool that still lies in all of our hearts. Okay, you don't all of a sudden grow out of this, or there's no end to our fight or growth in wisdom. We will cease to be fools the day that Christ comes back in the truest sense of the word. But you can grow in wisdom. You do not have to live a life that's characterized as being a fool. You do not have to be the dog that continues to return to lick up its own vomit. You do not have to be the one who has broken relationships wherever he goes, who doesn't know what to say and how to say it, who continuously grieves his parents, who is quick to anger and so forth and so on. You don't have to be that. And if you're not going to be that, God says, one of the most valuable provisions I've given you, children, in helping you grow out of foolishness and into wisdom, is your parents. Your parents. You see, nobody knows you like your parents know you. Not if you're still a child. Now, if you're older and you're married and you've been married for a long, long time, that might be an exception, but still, no one knows you the way your parents know you. No one knows your individual personality. No one knows your tendencies, your weaknesses, those kinds of things. The other side of that is, no one loves you like your parents are going to love you, as a general rule. And so, in God's design, your parents have been given to you to instruct you, to train you, to discipline you, so that you do not have to grow up and become a fool. Well, that's a blessing, isn't it? There's one responsibility that you have in the whole thing. Obey. Listen. Yield yourself to. And so, may God bless us to take His word seriously and then to reap the benefits of what it means to be blessed by walking in obedience. Let's pray. Father, we confess as we look at this these scriptures in Proverbs that we are hit by many of these things. There are plenty of things that we struggle with that are there. Plenty of things, Lord, plenty of mistakes that we've made that are described there. And while we can't go back and we can't undo those things, Lord, we can live a life moving forward in the future that does not repeat the same mistakes that we've made in the past. And we can do that because you've given us your word. We can do that because you've given us those who would instruct us, hold us accountable, train us, those kinds of things. So I pray for every child here, you would give them a willing heart to listen, learn, and obey. I also pray for parents that you would bless us to be faithful and that you would bless us to be diligent in what you've called us to. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.